This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Hey, how about Turkey Legs Jordan over there throwing the nicknames around?
He's like, what is he, the Chris Berman of WOKV?
I guess. All of a sudden now, Kerry Schwindenhammer's the hammer. Turkey Legs throwing them down.
You never give a nickname to yourself, though. Now, we got to work with Sam a little bit. He gave himself the nickname Turkey Legs, didn't he, Joe? Didn't I thought he Turkey Legs and
what was that Seinfeld episode? George wanted to be called T-Bone.
Yeah, you can't do that. Other people have to give you a nickname,
even if it's self-depreciating, because it's not like he's, you know, I don't know.
Turkey Legs is fine.
All right, call him Chicken Wings. He's too tiny to be a turkey leg.
Does he have news at the bottom of the hour?
It's either him or Jeff. Right. Yeah, could be him.
Could be fun. First 1 hour show. Welcome to the off season. Just as a matter of coincidence, first day of off season programming here, and the first mock draft is up. How about that?
Is it?
Yep. Mel Kiper's got his first mock. We'll go over that
already.
It's up. 21 non-seniors show up in the first round of Mel Kiper's initial mock.
Well, and about what you know, I think everybody expected. You had, what, 53 underclassmen declare for the draft, yep, which tied the record from last year. I guess that number does not include fifth-year players like the guy from Stanford, the running back.
Why did I want to say Tommy Vardell?
It's not touchdown Tommy.
Tommy Earhart. Toby
Earhart.
Yeah, Gerhart.
So, I mean, about what we thought, because, you know, with the potential rookie cap looming, collective bargaining question mark looming,
right?
Rookies are going to come out now to try to get their money now. It's kind of a cash grab, I guess you could say.
Go get it while you can. Just highlighting it, 21 underclassmen, they have the Jaguars taking a defensive lineman. I'll tell you who it is in just a moment. I'm looking through the whole list here, looking for that name. You know the name I'm talking about. Just to see if he is in the first round. And I guess no one's surprised that Tim Tebow is not in Mel Kiper's first round.
No, and you know what, though? Of all the people that have talked about, you know, Tim Tebow, boy, I hope the Jaguars get him. You know what? For his sake, I hope they don't. You know, just because, boy, the amount of pressure.
Go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Go somewhere way far away, you know, from here and yourself.
It would be great. I mean, obviously, it would be a kind of a, you know, a rallying cry for ticket buyers here somewhat in Jacksonville. It would have some impact.
Yeah, you can't deny that.
No, but for his sake, you know, I know that if I grew up in Northern Virginia, and the last place that I wanted to go and play was with my hometown team, and that was the Redskins, just because –
you don't buy tickets.
No, there's just so many distractions, and, you know, everybody wants to go to the game, and, you know, it's just a little too much pressure, and particularly because, you know, I mean, Tim grew up right down the road, and when where I grew up, it was, you know, right down the road from Redskin Park, kind of would have been a similar deal, although totally different. Obviously, Tim Tebow is one of the greatest college players to ever play the game.
Well,
I was just a guy.
Totally different. The Washington Redskins didn't need a quote-unquote savior.
No.
When you came out.
No. So, for his sake, I hope he gets an opportunity to go somewhere else. And I wish him well. I hope he does great, and I think he will do great at whatever position he ends up at.
355-NFL-1 is our phone number this evening, 355-6351, if you'd like to join us on the program. Vic is out tonight, so it's just me and Jeff and Joe. And if you'd like to jump on, again, 355-NFL-1. So you want to hear the first 10 picks of the draft?
Sure.
According to Mel Kiper. Obviously, number one, St. Louis Rams and Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle. Great player. Number two, Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, Oklahoma. Did you see him at all this year?
Did not.
Very similar to Sue, according to the guys that know.
I'm not a big college football guy.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the game.
Watch it on Saturday night.
I really don't. I mean, maybe watch a few plays here and there, but I mean, I'm I watch so much NFL. By the time I get to college, I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
He's got Eric Berry, the safety from Tennessee, going third.
I've seen him play.
I saw him once against Florida. He was really good that day. They've got the Redskins taking Sam Bradford, the quarterback from Oklahoma. I don't know about that. That shoulder, I think, is going to be real iffy.
Yeah.
Big guy, though. 6'4", 230.
Dan Snyder and quarterbacks, though, and Mike Shanahan, you know, he loves quarterbacks, too.
Wondering if it's – what's the kid, Heath Shuler, all over again. They've got Kansas.
He's made a fine congressman.
Yeah, no, well, he's – yeah, okay. He's a blue dog. Let's just leave it at that. Russell Okung, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, goes fifth to Kansas City. Again, this is Mel Kiper's initial mock draft, folks. They've got the kid from Georgia Tech, Derek Morgan, the defensive end in Seattle. Joe Hayden, who is maybe the best player on that Florida team, the corner, going to Cleveland. Oakland takes Anthony Davis, a big tackle from Rutgers. Of course, who knows what they do. Then they've got the Bills taking Jimmy Clausen at 9. The Broncos at 10. Remember, it's a coin flip, and that's not to be determined until the combine. Taking Dez Bryant. Then they have the Jaguars taking Jason Pierre-Paul. Do we have to have another hyphen name here? Mike Sims-Walker, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Jason Pierre-Paul. Defensive end from South Florida.
Okay. Does that mean you're going to call him Jason Pierre?
Jason Paul.
Jason Paul.
Hey, you know, I get grief for that, but he told me I'd call him Drew.
No, trust me. His
name is Drew. His name is Drew. They say I can call him Drew.
You know, the thing that I'm really looking forward to seeing is what the Jaguars do in free agency.
Well, how much do you think is capable to be done?
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot. That's going to be, I mean, obviously you're not going to be able to go out and get a top-tier player, but, I mean, you're going to be able to go out and fill some holes, much like they did last year. You know, and I was having a conversation with Ryan Robinson, Jaguars PR guy, earlier today, and he was talking about pass rushers, and he was saying, well, how many times does somebody get a pass rusher in free agency? And what immediately came to my mind was the New England Patriots. Think about the number of players that they were able to get over the last, 8 years as unrestricted free agent pass rushers. I mean, it started with Vrabel.
Yeah.
Tully Bantakane was a free agent.
Well, remember, they took the guy from Chicago, Roosevelt Colvin.
Roosevelt Colvin.
Right, Rosie Colvin. He had a broken hip. So
the guy from Baltimore, Adalius Thomas.
That's true. Did they trade for Derek Burgess this
year? Yes, they traded for him, I believe, okay. Which, you know, that still kind of counts.
Yeah, sure. They go after a veteran guy. And then, of course, the Browns grabbed the guy that you like, Matt Ross.
Love him. Boy. And he's going to be a free agent, but, I mean, he's – it'd be interesting to see how much money free agents command this year with this whole labor strife looming.
Well, you know, Reggie Hayward was a young pass rusher. What did he have, 18 sacks in 2 years, and he got $10 million, and that was 2005.
Yeah.
So it's tough to look and see that he would get less than that.
Parents, teach your kids how to pass rush.
Are you doing it?
No.
Yeah. 355-NFL-1. Should we take a call?
Yeah, let's take Karen. She's mad at me. Yeah.
All right.
Let's start off with Karen.
How are you? You're going to take Vic's role now as being the antagonist tonight, Lobby. Hit him, Karen. Hit him.
I want to start out by saying that I love you to death, and I have been a first-season ticket holder ever since you got here, since the Jaguars came to town. And I love you and Mark and all of you guys. So.
Well, thank you. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What are you mad at me for?
I am tired of hearing the weak reasons about Tim Tebow. We need that kind of love here in Jacksonville.
The weak reasons? What do you mean by that?
I'd have to buy tickets for my friends, and those can all be overcome.
You lost me. Are you saying that you think that tickets is not a weak reason, that it should be a reason they do draft?
No. I disagree that the tickets will only take a minor impact. I think they'd have a big impact because people will respond to him they did to some of the early players, where a lot of people in Jacksonville had a great love for people like you and for
she can't get Bissell's name out of her mouth.
I agree that Tim would have an impact on ticket sales. Now me and you, Karen, we disagree on what type of impact. When you look at the history of the league, there's really never been a college player that has had a huge impact on the hometown team's ticket sales.
Only one, Red Grange in 1925.
That's it.
One.
But you also have to look at Tim Tebow himself. the kind of player he is, the kind of passion he has.
No, I don't dispute
any of that.
He will
be a good player somewhere.
I don't
Why
dispute,
would we want him if he's going to be good?
I don't dispute any of that. And I think he's going to be good one day at some position. I don't know what position that's going to be. But as I said before, for his sake, I hope that he can go somewhere else, because I think that the scrutiny and the attention that he would get here would be immense. It would almost be overbearing.
Well, they had 17,000 seats, and people call and say he will sell tickets. It's not like they're going to say, well, he'll sell five. People are going to expect him to sell all 17. You know, I mean, that's
well,
the kind of, that's kind of weight that's going
to
be on his shoulders.
That scrutiny.
Maybe.
Maybe he can. But
maybe
a,
he can. But
rookie,
but
that's an awful
big Nobody will know
ask.
That. You know, and Karen, the one position that you really just don't know is quarterback.
Well, he may not be a quarterback on our team. He may be a fullback or something.
He may
you
be.
Don't know.
He may be. He
but
may
I think
be.
He'll be great
can
at
I ask
whatever
you a question?
Position he goes to.
Karen, would you be happy if Tim Tebow came to Jacksonville and didn't touch the ball? I mean, if he wasn't the
for
quarterback,
the first year,
would
I
he
be disappointed?
Right, but
for
what
the
if,
first year?
But
no.
What if he couldn't? What if he wasn't deemed to be an NFL caliber quarterback? And what if he only caught the ball as an H back, fullback? I don't know, five times a game. Would that sell tickets?
Five
would,
times a game? That's a lot.
All right. How about three times?
That'd be 80 catches in a season.
All right. But I was talking just touching. Maybe directed his yeah. way. But let's say that he gets. I don't know.
That
three,
doesn't matter because he's going to be a really good player no matter what. Team he goes to and what position he plays, he's going to be good at it.
We'll see.
It's not guaranteed.
So he's not going to be, maybe he won't be a top of the line, you know.
But if he's not, Karen, does he still sell tickets? And that's the question.
Sure, he does.
All right. Well,
because of his personality and his conviction, and people know that, they're all aware of it. They're going to back
you,
him.
Karen. I believe that it will have some impact. But mm-hmm. not the impact that you believe.
And you know what, Karen? We have to just wait and see how it rolls out. So
yep.
Don't be mad at Logs. He's a really nice guy.
I'm not mad at him.
Thank
I
you,
just
Karen.
Disagree.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for
Bye.
Disagreeing.
Have a good night, Karen.
On our show.
Good night.
We'll take a
good
break.
Night.
We'll come back. And where's Vic? What would he
Thank goodness he's not
yeah,
here.
Was, Karen, you are lucky Vic is not here this evening.
He's angered some of my friends, and they're kind of rough around the edges, too.
That's a story I think we need to hear. We'll be back with more after this.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
You know, that we mentioned, it really is kind of a calm night without Vic.
Yeah.
He has a way of just starting fires.
Yeah, he gets people a little angry.
He's rehabilitating. He's relaxing.
That's a good way to put it. He's resting his heart.
I will leave it at that. 355-NFL-1, because anything else might get us in trouble. You can join us on the program this evening, as several callers have chosen to do. Lee joins us from the north side of Jacksonville. Next up on Jaguars This Week. Hello, Lee.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to make a comment on this Tim Tebow thing. And it's not that I love Tim Tebow. Like you said, great college football player. And you hear people
best.
Say, yeah. You hear people say, you know, draft him and he'll sell tickets, but people are not going to come watch him buy, you know, to sit on the bench. If they're going to sell tickets, he's going to have to play. And if they draft him as a third-string quarterback, he's not going to have an active roster spot. And you hear people say, well, he can come in and run the Wildcat every once in a while, but correct me if I'm wrong, if he's a third-string quarterback, he can't play. Unless something happens to the...
Well, he could. But if in fact, the third quarterback designation, you can dress a third quarterback, or you can choose to have a third quarterback active, but then you have to deactivate somebody else
right.
on game
well,
day.
When we were in New England, Isaiah
just going to waste an active roster spot for him to maybe run the Wildcat two or three times a game. That just don't make sense.
You know, when we were in New England, Isaiah Standback, who was a quarterback/receiver, was active as a receiver, and they used him – or could have used him to play quarterback. That's how you'd get around it. But your point is well taken. Look, if he's not playing, then he isn't going to help you sell tickets or otherwise. And I think, you know, you talked about him maybe going somewhere else
yeah.
where he could have the pressure free. Imagine the pressure he's going to put on a David Garrard or the franchise to play him.
Yeah.
People buying tickets to see him. It could be a kettle of fish.
Yeah, it could be. It'd be very, very interesting to watch how that would all unfold. But like I said,
right.
for him, I hope that he gets the opportunity to go somewhere to develop on his own without that kind of pressure.
He was playing in the Senior Bowl, which means he'll be practicing next week in Mobile. And then you'll see him play, I think it's a Saturday night game. A week from Saturday, he'll play over at the Ladd Peoples Stadium over there in Mobile. So we'll see. I mean, he's going to be challenged. Did you play in the Senior Bowl?
No. No, I played in the – because when I was in college, we did not go to a bowl game. I played in the Blue-Gray, and then I played in the East-West Shrine Game.
Blue-Gray was a Christmas Day game in Mobile.
That's right.
Right.
And the East-West Shrine Game at that point was in Palo Alto. And this year, it's actually down in Orlando.
Yeah, in fact, it's this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's this weekend. They're practicing right now.
So how much can Tebow expect? I mean, how much can the coaches and the scouts expect him to show them as a quarterback? Because they're probably going to put in a very simple offense, but it's going to be more of a pro-style offense.
Yeah, but it's very, very simple. I mean, there's not a whole lot to it. They have limitations on what defenses can do, what you can blitz, how many different alignments you can see. I think the only true evaluation you would get from a quarterback from the Senior Bowl would be just mechanics, you know, an arm.
Right.
But the mental aspect of the game, it'd be very difficult to evaluate.
How do you evaluate that? Especially when you're talking about evaluating quarterback that, from a system where he's
in the
shotgun.
That makes that position the hardest position to evaluate.
And that guy.
Because there's so much more to the pro game compared to the college game. When it comes to that position.
Between the years.
I mean, think about the intricate defenses that quarterbacks see week in and week out in the league. I mean, very few master them. You know, Peyton Manning is a master of them. Drew Brees is a master of them. And Tom Brady.
That's pretty much it.
Other quarterbacks. I mean, you'd look at all the other top flight quarterbacks. Roethlisberger is not a master.
No.
The other Manning is not. I don't know if there's anybody else. The one that may, out of those top three, as far as intelligence at reading and understanding defense, would be a Chad Pennington. Because anybody that can function with that arm strength, which is not much,
no, it's not.
Have success, has the wits to be able to figure out what teams are doing defensively.
Lee, we appreciate the call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's grab Jeff from the north side as our last caller here before the bottom of the hour. And if you want to keep the Tebow talk going, we can do it because Vic's not here to get angry. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, how y'all doing?
Good.
I want to talk about Tebow, but I did want to talk about the schedule. Now, we all know that the Super Bowl is always played before the Pro Bowl. But why did the NFL schedule the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl? And I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
Jeff, the reason they moved the Pro Bowl in front of the Super Bowl this year, the first and foremost, the contract was up
in Hawaii,
and so they wanted to do something different. And with the two-week layoff from the championship game to the Pro Bowl, what they wanted to do was to make it really a two-week event, a two-week celebration of the NFL. And I think they accomplished that. Do I agree with it? No, because I think you miss a lot of the marquee players from the Super Bowl. Now, I mean,
they're not playing.
Most teams that are in the playoffs have, you know, 4, 5, 6 Pro Bowlers on each team. So you could be losing 10 Pro Bowlers. Now, that's good for the teams that aren't in the Super Bowl. You know, for example, a Mercedes Lewis.
Is he in yet?
Well, he's like a second or third alternate.
Okay.
A Montel Owens, who's an alternate. These guys could end up going because there's going to be more players that are going to be quote-unquote Pro Bowl players,
right?
Because there's going to be less available for the game.
Well, think about it like this. Here's the AFC, right? Just guys who are still playing. Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne. So there's a quarterback, a wide receiver, Dallas Clark, a tight end spot, right?
Three.
Freeney. Let's see. DeBrickashaw Ferguson is still playing.
Is he a Pro Bowler?
Alan Faneca, yeah. And Nick Mangold. So three.
Six?
Yeah, there's three, right? There's six on the offensive side alone. Then you got Freeney, Mathis.
Seven.
Darrell Revis.
Nine.
That's it.
Okay.
You got nine spots by two teams in the AFC, so go figure. On the other side, obviously, you still got plenty of players from Minnesota and New Orleans.
And if you're a Super Bowl host city, you hope that it's going to be like this every year.
Yeah.
Because imagine what that's going to do to the hotel and the income that the host city would receive by having an additional week of an attraction.
They're just trying it, though. It's a one-year deal, right? If it works out well, they continue it. If not, they always have the option to go back to Hawaii.
Well, and I like the idea of having it the week before the Super Bowl because it is going to provide more attraction. It's going to provide more of a buzz around the host city.
Yeah, a little more relevance, too. Folks might actually watch it.
At the same time, you're going to be missing maybe, you know, up to 10 players or more.
At least. Appreciate the phone call. We take a break. Return with your calls in the second half hour of Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. On News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, right along here, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggan, and Joe Fortunato with Jaguars This Week. We'll go till straight up 7 o'clock. We're back to the one-hour version here. Vic is out of town this week, so it's just us and you. We've had callers on the line. Tebow's been the hot topic this evening. That's what happens when you get to the
end. By the way, the Pro Bowl is scheduled to go back to Aloha Stadium in 2011 and 2012. The board, the Hawaii Tourism Authority board, they pay $4 million a year to host that game.
Okay. So, to the league?
To the league.
Okay.
So now with it being in Hawaii, they can't have it between the two games, can they?
Yeah, well, they're still talking about it. They're saying here, let me find it again.
Between the last playoff game and the Super Bowl.
It doesn't matter where you put it because you're going to have, if it's that week, you're doing what you're doing this year, excluding the Super Bowl participants. Difference does it make?
I've heard from some players, and I won't mention any names, that they don't like going to Hawaii.
Well, it's a long trip.
It's a long trip.
Yeah, but man, they can take it first class, though. I mean, I've heard the stories about where they stay and all the amenities they have laid out for them. And I mean, it's a first-class trip for these guys.
But somewhere I was reading, they're talking about even though that it's going to go back to Hawaii in 2011, they would still host it the week before the Super Bowl.
And again, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the Super Bowl participants anyway, what does it matter?
But we'll see, that may be an issue because you'll have some players that are playing in a game. You know what I mean?
A
championship game.
Right.
And then having to jump on a plane and go straight to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. Practice all week for that.
It's kind of hard to prepare for that. When you don't know if you win, you're in a Super Bowl. If you lose, you're going to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
The other issue with that can be the logistics of finding out whether players are healthy or not. And then all of a sudden, somebody may get a call and say, hey, so-and-so from the loser of the championship game can't play. He got hurt yesterday. You got to be on a plane tomorrow morning, and that player's going to go, huh?
Right. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of different issues that go with it, and it brings up the validity of the game. How important is it to the NFL?
Well, yeah.
As a player, when you were on the Players Association board,
mm-hmm.
How important was the Pro Bowl to you guys?
I mean, it was just the recognition.
Right.
Playing in it, I don't think, was that big of a deal.
Right.
But the recognition of being a Pro Bowl player was a big deal.
I got to believe for the NFL, it's better to have it in the town where the Super Bowl is, especially the week before, because now you're talking about 2 weeks of a party-type atmosphere where you get more fans, more involved, everybody's out there having a good time, spending money in whatever town they're in.
See, and having it the week before the Super Bowl on the mainland,
right?
It's a little easier get guys there that may have to be kind of last-minute replacements.
Because the longest flights, longest flight would be 6 hours.
Yeah.
How much of it is that you might want to party?
As a player?
Nah.
Yeah, as a player.
Nah.
In Hawaii?
No. But wouldn't it be easier to party in Miami than it would be in Hawaii? Isn't Hawaii more of a laid-back kind of a place?
Joe, wherever you go, there's a party.
Yeah. You in particular. When you show up, Joe.
Thanks, pal.
Everything changes.
I just think there's more going on in Miami.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on
Honolulu
in Honolulu, buddy. There's a lot going on in Maui. There's a lot going on the Big Island. There's always something going on in Hawaii.
You roll the checks downhill, the fun follows. Grab a couple phone calls here. Let's grab Ray on the west side. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
Thanks for waiting.
No problem. I wanted to mention an idea that Vic had. You know, sometimes you love Vic and sometimes you don't, but I really like this idea he had for something that I call the Tebow ticket plan, where you send out contracts to 17,000 people who don't have tickets, and if they buy 3 years' worth of season tickets, 17,000 of them before the draft, then we draft Tebow.
Before you comment on that, before you comment, on the record, for the record, because this show is recorded and then posted on Jaguars.com every week, we both love Vic all the time.
There you go.
Okay, now go ahead.
I mean, you know, come on, Ray. I mean, Vic said that with a mischievous smile on his face.
But it does put the onus on all those people that go, man, hey, look, draft him because they'll buy tickets.
Draft the player who's got the best chance of helping this team win. That's the most important thing. Forget about all the rest.
And Gene Smith is only going to do that.
And he will.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
With that said, Pierre kid.
Yeah, Pierre Paul. We'll just call him Paul, though.
Yeah, Mel Kiper said he was the next Mario Williams. Is he?
I haven't seen him play.
I hope he's better than that.
From South Florida, I have not seen him play. I did not see a USF game all season long. I heard his name.
Because that's pass rush. That's
and because
what we
it
need,
was a
right?
hyphenated name, I thought, oh, dear God, do not bring him here. But if he's a good player.
Bring him here.
Yeah, bring him here. If he's a pass rusher,
I don't
too.
Care about names.
We'll look him up.
Give me a pass rusher.
Let's go to Dave in St. Augustine. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call and joining the show. I'm really excited about this offseason, especially with as many underclassmen declaring. I'm not a draft nick or anything like that, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of talent coming out of this draft, and I really hope we're able to trade back to get more picks for all the Tebow lovers, which I'm not necessarily one of them, but I do think he may be successful at this level. That might increase the chances of us getting him and maximizing
hey,
the value in the draft.
Dave, real quick, just so everyone understands, Jeff nor I have said he won't be. We have not said he won't be. We're just saying that's an awful lot of pressure to put on a kid.
Exactly.
And you don't know. But, you do not know.
Hey, it's crystal ball business.
Yes. Yep.
But what I wanted to say was, today I totaled up the 30-30 plan for my season tickets. I have two season tickets in a $390 section. For the 30-30 plan, for 30 months, it's $26 a month.
Way to go.
The section that's $480 that they decreased the price,
mm-hmm.
$32 a month for two season tickets for 3 years.
Wait, 32 for two season tickets?
For two season tickets,
so
30 payments of $32 a month. I mean, if it doesn't get any more affordable than that, those are good tickets.
That's great program that they instituted in a couple weeks ago when we had Carl Cannon in here. They talked about some of the plans that they have, and that's an outstanding plan. Put it this way. You're not going to find a more affordable ticket in the National Football League than right here.
No. And you know what? When
Absolutely
you,
not.
And let's put it in context for everybody. It's the same game that they play in New York, Dallas, Chicago, New England, Philadelphia, and it is so much less expensive, so much more affordable here than there. If you could just get people to see what they get and what they pay for it compared to the folks up in the Northeast, man, I'm telling you what, they'd even crow bigger and louder about Florida. Appreciate your phone call.
Whiz, but when just looking at it, I couldn't total it up, but it really surprised me that it was going to be that cheap. So go Jaguars.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. Come back. One more segment. Jaguars This Week after this.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along. Dave, we had a couple of math teachers call and check your numbers. Hey, you're getting a heck of a deal, pal. It just might not be quite as good as you think. We're not going to deal with it tonight. Tim Connolly will be here next week.
Yep. We can talk about all the different plans,
the numbers,
et cetera, et cetera.
How it all works. So with that, we're going to roll on and grab a couple more calls. We've got Kevin and Mandarin up next. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on.
All right. Well, I mean, basically, the basic point I wanted to make, I mean, there's all this talk about Tebow and everything, but, I mean, the problem is Dan DeGard is he's an upper echelon backup quarterback. He's not a starter in the NFL. He came in for Leftwich, which is a whole other story. It was just one of the worst, I think, starting quarterbacks ever to be in the NFL. But he came in, he had a good year. You know, he did some good things. But, you know,
no,
that year,
Kevin, let me back up just here for a second to correct a couple things that you said. Byron Leftwich, his rating put him right in the middle of the pack. If you evaluated him solely on quarterback rating, and in fact, before he got hurt at Arizona, he was starting to climb into that top third of quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Now, he had his best game as a pro before he broke his ankle.
Yeah, and to say that David Garrard is not a quality starting quarterback in the league is crazy. His rating bears out that he is a middle-of-the-road quarterback after this year. In 2008, he had a very similar rating, which put him in the middle of the road.
So you're saying like 15, 16, 17, 18.
Right in that range.
Okay.
So, Kevin, it's kind of hard to say that he is a quality backup because there's other teams in the National Football League that would like to have David because he's a better option than what they got.
Buffalo, Carolina, Seattle now with Hasselbeck as broken up and injured as he is.
You know, Kevin, the one thing is about quarterbacks in the NFL, it's a very difficult position to play. There's only a few, Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Drew Brees. They just don't come along very often.
No, I understand that completely. But, I mean, look at what Over the Hill Kerry Collins did with Tennessee last year.
Yeah, but look what he did this year.
Well,
with the best running back in the National Football League.
Okay. If David Garrard is going to continue to play quarterback at Jacksonville and they want to win games, he needs to go back. What made him dangerous and what made him good in the first place was he used to use his legs to make plays, and you had to respect that.
I agree that they need to play to his strengths. The one thing that I want to see this year is I want to see more demanded of David.
But you want to see more demanded of him as a passer.
As a passer. And as a quarterback, period.
But not as a runner.
Not necessarily as a runner, because he still does amazing. He was the second leading quarterback rusher in the National Football League, second to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers had no protection early on. That's the only reason he led the league in rushing.
How about the touchdown that he threw to Maurice Drew against the Colts, where he started to his left and
tremendous
threw back right?
Tremendous.
So he does use his legs.
But more has to be demanded of him. The game that I point to in the Miami game where they had 10 guys on the field. As a starting quarterback, that's not good enough. You got to know that. When you line up, you got to know where everybody should be. You should be able to tell every player, with the exception of the offensive line, just about. You should be able to tell every player what their responsibility is. David has to take that next step, and they have to get better around David. But I'm not taking the pressure off David. He has to do more. They have to demand more from him, and they have to get better around him.
Appreciate the phone call, Kevin. We go from Kevin in Mandarin to Kevin across the river in Orange Park. Hello, Kevin. What's going on tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. I kind of Tebow in status of the call, and I understand off of the last Kevin who just called. My fear is this. I've lived in Orange Park, Jacksonville most of my life, and I think what you're seeing is the fan base is losing just about all hope for the team, and the whole Tebow thing, I think you guys might need to give a little more credit to maybe the fan base that they would be more patient with a up-and-comer like a Tebow under the tutelage of David, if that's the way it goes, to very, very, very possibly sell a boatload of tickets to another season of 30,000 to 47,000 in the stadium and covering up more seats. Because that's the fear on the street. I don't know what the rumors are, true, false, or indifferent, but my fear is, from a financial standpoint, if the Jaguars leave town, Jacksonville is going to be hurting in a very, very bad way.
Kevin, do you believe that Tim Tebow, simply in a teal uniform, will sell 17,000 tickets per game, whether he plays quarterback or not, okay, because that is still an evaluation that has yet to be made, despite what Tebow's fans think. It has to be made still. Do you think that if he comes in place, fullback, H-back, tight end, backup quarterback, no matter what, if he's in Teal, he sells 17,000 tickets?
I think there's a lot of folks, Florida Gator fans, which I've been one since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, that would absolutely jump right on and buy tickets. I think I don't know that it would be like a Green Bay Packers situation, but I think you would be
How long do you stay? I mean, how long will you sit and watch Tim Tebow not play before you'll say, I'll buy tickets when he's on the field?
Well, right. I understand.
Because you don't know.
You don't know. And I know it's a crapshoot at best, but I think the...
And you understand the side of it is that if you take the crapshoot and you pass on a star player, in the example we use here is they took Byron Leftwich, who's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, and because they took him 1 year, they missed the chance that year, by the way, to take Terrell Suggs, a five-time Pro Bowl pass rusher. The next year, Ben Roethlisberger, who's won two Super Bowls, was on the board, and they didn't take him because they had made the mistake in taking Byron the year before. You see, you only get so many shots at this thing in the draft. And you see what the last couple of years have done to the Jaguars by not taking good shots all those years. It's a gamble, man.
I'm with you, but the rumor is, and this is just Joe, average citizen like me, is the ritual of the Jaguars is bargain basement shopping, get the best guy for the cheapest amount of money, no matter what.
I don't know where you get that from, because this team has spent a ton of money.
Well, a Gator that they drafted 2 years ago, they gave $17 million to.
Well, I mean, ignore the draft.
Free agency?
Look at free agency last year that didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
Joey,
this is not a bargain basement team.
Reggie Hayward got $10 million. Brian Williams got $10 million. Now they've spent some money out there. They went after Hugh Douglas, right? Because they were hoping to get something
Bryce
going.
Pop, Cornell Lake.
Lots of money. Mr. Weaver's pulled that checkbook out. Loggy, thanks. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Joe, appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody. The Tebow conversation will continue for many moons.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.